Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good Thursday afternoon, everybody. Great to have you with us. A little bit of fun today, including Pete Jensen, NHL.com. And we'll have my brother on today with picks. Probably going to stop by and see him at some point tomorrow evening. Considering that my trip from the airport down to Mohegan Sun goes right by his business, I might as well stop by and say hi. Might as well do that. That way he can gloat to me face to face. He has plenty to gloat about, too. My goodness. He's on a roll, isn't he, Sean?
He sure is. Unfortunately, you and I did not gain ground since the three of us went 3-5 last week. So, see, he still holds a 7-game lead over you, 4-game lead over me. But we'll get to work at that at 4:35.
Sounds great. We'll do that 4:35 today. We'll get him on to give the picks. And not only that, we're garnering more listeners now in New England just because of him.
One listener at a time, yeah. Getting one more each week. Laying the foundation here for something great.
And suddenly, out of nowhere, we're the number one rated show in New Haven.
I'm not proud. I'll take it. They're like saying, who, what show? Huh?
Number one in Bridgeport. Hi, everybody. We're number one in Meriden. Meanwhile, our sales staff's like, that's terrific. The suit sitting in the back, can we take advantage?
By the way, the suit is going to be on TV this weekend. He is.
America's Most Wanted?
No. It is on Saturday night, but it's not America's Most Wanted.
I'm sorry.
That was good.
Wakeman's laughing, isn't she?
Jen was on early duty this morning, so yeah, she's now in the car getting a good chuckle. For sure.
She's sitting back going, why is he so fast? So what, a high school football game?
Yes, he'll be doing some on-air broadcasting duties on SEC V8. They have a coverage tomorrow night of Southern Columbia South Williamsport, and I asked Kevin what's the first time it'll be on. He thinks Saturday night, either 7 or 8 on SEC V8 we'll have the first replay of the game.
So. Eastern time?
Yes.
It'll be on at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific. Well, good.
3 in Honolulu.
Perfect.
Saturday night at 7. First, according to the schedule he saw on SEC V8. So.
Let me guess, he's informing you as we speak.
Yes, got the text a little while ago. So, yeah, so you are double duty on Saturday with Penn State hoops and Penn State football. He is double duty with Bucknell football on 100.9 The Valley. Well, Friday night he's got the high school football and then Saturday football. So, busy guy.
Very busy guy.
Yes. Good. But we like that.
That's, you know, like, so exactly. So are the authorities. All right. keep off the street. All right. Very good. Went through some of the metrics on the game and so forth. We've got plenty of guests coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to have on, let's see, Ryan Dunleavy, NJ.com. We're going to talk with him about Rutgers. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Greg Pickle is on tomorrow's show. I'm trying to think, we have one more on there too. I'm on the show tomorrow. So
heard you yesterday mention Neil Coulong. I heard you say it.
That's right. Neil is going to be on the show tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Steelers. What a disaster they are. This has not been good for you.
No, it's been frustrating. 4-5 now. I mean, do you really? You really see them winning 7 in a row, running the table, going 11-5 to win the division? I sure don't.
I mean, see, this is the big difference. If the suit were on the show, if they only had Bettis. Like, he's 1,000 years old. Move on. You know he'd say it.
He's in Canton, not coming back.
Oh, the text messages I got that night.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That was a great debate between you and him for months.
I mean,
because I knew your take of it just had those fringe stats that could be enough to keep him out, which I completely understood.
The 3.9 yards a carry, if a guy has, and in all seriousness now, I mean, you know, he's in, so it doesn't really matter. If you have a guy that has 3.9 yards a carry, did he have a successful season in your mind? And the answer is no. Yet he had 3.9 yards of carry for his career, and he had 3.9 yards of carry in the playoffs. I mean, now, marvelously consistent, but and there was not a signature playoff moment for him. I mean, what signature playoff moment did he have that distinguished him from all the others?
Oh, I thought of the interim fumble that he had in the playoff game in Indy.
Yeah, that Roethlisberger tracked him down.
Yeah, saved his bacon.
Again, it's irrelevant now. He's in. I'm saying those were my two issues with him because, again, when you're looking at the Hall of Fame, You do have to then start parsing, especially when there are only 5 spots available. And that's all there are available. I mean, you have the 2. I mean, usually it goes to 7 because there are 2 other spots for older players or executives to get in. So it's really 5 players on the ballot. And there's no question he's 6th in rushing all time. Okay. So that helps his cause. Durability helps his cause. Being a major personality in games helps his cause. All those are all the pluses on the ledger. The negatives on the ledger to me were the 3.9 yards a carry for his career. And the 3.9 yards of carry in the playoffs, the biggest games. Those aren't great. That's not a great stat line. You would figure a guy like that's going to be somewhere in the 4s. But when to me, 4 is the cutoff line. You're below that. It's like, to me, it's like hitting below the Mendoza line. And the fact that he did not have any signature playoff moments. Where's that signature playoff game where like they rode the buses back all the way? If they didn't ride the bus to anything. In fact, they finally won the Super Bowl. Willie Parker was the guy that was and Parker had a great Super Bowl game in Detroit. Fabulous. I mean, he was fabulous that day. But, I mean, he's in now, so it literally does not matter now. I mean, it's irrelevant. But that was always my fine line with Bettis. I always felt he was right on the line. Doesn't mean I don't think he was a great player, but there are a lot of great players that don't quite get there. And the difference is, I have no emotion when it comes to it, as opposed to the begging and pleading on the show. It's like it got to be sad at points. But I mean, right now you got a Hall of Fame. Can you explain to me why Antonio Brown went out of bounds?
Yeah, I don't get that either. I don't.
At the end of the game? I mean, why? What are we preserving here? I mean, I see stuff like that.
What's with one more, you know, cut to the right, get a few more yards, maybe shrug off one more guy, and you could have a shot at daylight.
I mean, he has tremendous escapability. You're telling me that I'm sorry, it's the end of the game. It's the last play. You give up? I mean, that's what he did. He gave up. I'm sorry, you can't give up. I don't get that at all. I mean, he has to know the clock, which, you know, I've complained about with players many times. I mean, he knows it's the last play, and he ran out of bounds. Like, what? Why are you running out of bounds? If I'm a fan of the Steelers, to me, that's unacceptable.
Well, the last week or two, what word has been kicked around a lot? Undisciplined. Mike, you know, Ben Roethlisberger says we need to be more disciplined. And it just kind of goes back to, okay, all the stuff that Antonio Brown does off the field. He's not a detriment on the field. I mean, he doesn't do anything, I don't think, that's negative to the team in between,
oh, no.
You know, during, you know, in between the whistles and in between the lines. But I just kind of wonder with Ben saying we need to be more disciplined, if it just kind of makes you, it just kind of makes me wonder, okay, with all the stuff that Antonio Brown does with the shoes and with kind of, you know, he wants the attention. But I don't compare him to Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, he has done, Beckham Jr. has done stuff on the field. He wants the attention that's, you know, it's setting the team back. That hasn't happened yet with Brown during a game.
Yeah, I understand.
So but it makes you wonder when it's going to happen. You just hope it's not. Steelers fans don't want it to happen.
But I'm in the last play of the game. I'm not going all out to get to the end zone. I'm going to run out of bounds. Why? Because you might get hit?
It kind of looked like that way, didn't it? He just kind of all of a sudden just went exit stage left and out and said, no, I'm not going to score.
I don't know. Hey, by the way, let's take a major national story and let's localize it. John O'Korn is going to be the starting quarterback for Michigan Saturday against Indiana, right? Do you know where John O'Korn was the starting quarterback as a sophomore in high school? Huntington Area High School, 35 miles from here. The O'Korn family is only 35 miles from State College. Now, what happened is he then went down to Florida, went to St. Thomas Aquinas High School, and then it opened the door for him to go to Houston. But John O'Korn, the starting quarterback for Michigan, is a Huntington, Pennsylvania native and was the starting quarterback for the Bearcats of Huntington. As a sophomore, a few years ago. You did not know that, did you?
Did not know that.
So there, you know, a little local flavor with some big national implications on the game. Big national implications. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Say Rutgers Saturday night at 8 o'clock, 6:30, the airtime for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show. Looking forward to it very much and the trip to Jersey. And let's see if Penn State can keep this train rolling as they go for their seventh consecutive win. And again, that'll be just after 8 o'clock for the kickoff, but 6:30 will be the airtime. And it'll be Joe Putnam. Along with Jack Ham, Derek Williams, and I'll be there as well. Roger Corey, his son, is getting married Saturday, so Joe Putnam's filling in for Roger on Saturday. So don't be shocked when you don't hear the golden tones of Roger Corey at the beginning of the game, because he'll be in Columbus with his son, who gets married on Saturday.
Will he be with you tonight for the coaches show?
Yes, he will be.
Okay.
Yes, he will. He'll be out there working the crowd. But yes, don't be surprised if you hear Joe and not Roger open up the broadcast on Saturday evening, because Roger won't be there.
And Joe and Mr. Putnam filled in for you on Hoops last week.
He did. It's just physically impossible for me to go from State College to Indianapolis with a 10:30 airtime in the morning. There are no direct flights to Indianapolis. There's no charter for me to get there. I would have to go through Detroit, through Indianapolis, and then drive an hour from Indianapolis to get there, and that's not going to work.
Turn in your cape, Superman. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah. So couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. That'll be this weekend, and I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that he was going to be doing that. Quite a season, by the way, in the National Hockey League to this point, where the young players have really changed and energized the league. We're going to talk with Pete Jensen from NHL.com in the next half hour. And tomorrow we've got Neil Coulon, Tony DeFazio, Greg Pickle, Ryan Dunleavy all tomorrow. Ryan Dunleavy on the game, Greg Pickle on the game, Neil Coulon on the Steelers, Tony DeFazio on the Steelers. Neil, by the way, is picking the Browns to win.
Oh, come on.
Well, what are you laughing about? Let me start with this. Number one, the Browns are an unusual 0-for team right now because they have not played poorly. This is not a team that loses games 42-7.
I think they have the right guy in Hugh Jackson, though. I do.
I do, too. So they've been a team that they'll lose by 7, they'll lose by 10, they'll be driving downfield at the end, they won't get it done. I mean, that's how they've been losing games. So they've been in the neighborhood. Absolutely not great, but in the neighborhood. Oh, look, let's bottom line. Steelers aren't playing well. I mean, if you think they're playing well and they're just that much better than the Browns, I'm sorry, they're not playing that well. Now, I obviously think the Steelers will win by 10 points. All right. But Neil is not enamored with the Steelers, and he thinks that the Browns might win.
Well, with no Cam Hayward the rest of the season, that is huge. And, you know, the way you talked about, you know, about Antonio Brown final play of the game last week, I just hope that doesn't carry off on the rest of the players as they prep for this game.
Well, Antonio Brown will have, I think, a bunch of occasions to run out of bounds on Sunday. I'm sorry. That, to me, was unacceptable. Oh, I don't know why everybody's making a big deal of it. Oh, I don't know. Lack of effort?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So Lawrence is going to do a segment on how to get along with your family during the holidays at Thanksgiving.
Still a little too close from the election.
I'll tell you right now, that's a 10-part series. You can't solve that in a segment. We used to have a commercial on the radio network for the Hampton Inn. And I'm doing the commercial one day with Dick Girardi. And it says, you know, you're going to have people coming in for the holidays. And I said, you know, here's an idea. Why don't you take the room at the Hampton? Let them have the house. You get the room at the Hampton. You get the meal downstairs. I said, really? It's the best of both worlds. And Dick couldn't stop laughing. Oh, goodness. Oh, well. Okay. So why don't you take it? The heck with giving it to your relatives. You take the room.
Well, if they're back on the basketball broadcast this season, and if I catch a little snicker from you, now I'll know why.
And Tarman's just shaking his head like, I can't believe this. Well, it's the other day, Dick kept calling Grand Canyon, their nickname is the Antelopes. Well, He loved the fact that they're called the antelopes. So he kept calling them the antelopes, the lopes. So and then he made some comment about hunting. And I said, I don't know if a real antelope could make it in this state the first Monday after Thanksgiving. So the guy that's the cameraman for the Penn State basketball show in the paint, he said, I'm on the sideline. And he says, and I'm cracking up, and everybody's looking at me like, what do you think is so funny? He said, the two nuts upstairs. Oh, he says, at least twice a game, I just sit there and just start laughing. People look at me. Like, I said, look, we know we're different. We know it's unusual. We didn't say it was great. But as Dick says, we do what we do, and we don't know what that is. All right. Time now for this day in sports history. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, by the way. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Route 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 1926, the Chicago Blackhawks played their first NHL game. 1940, the Packers became the first NFL team to travel by plane. 1968, NBC cut away from the final minutes of the Jets-Raiders game for the TV special Heidi. The Raiders, losing the game 32-29, rallied in the final 2 minutes with a pair of touchdowns at 143-32. So if you're wondering why, following the game, 60 minutes. That's the reason why. Heidi. Mary Lemieux was voted to the NHL Hall of Fame in 1997. That's this day in sports history. Pete Jensen, NHL.com, joins. Now you see Pete now on NHL Network. Pete's doing the TV thing now, as well as NHL.com. It's great to have him on board. He's been with us forever. Pete, welcome back. And what's your early take on the season so far?
Well, I think you have to start with the New York Rangers, how they've been scoring, leading the league in scoring a season after they got blitzed by the Pittsburgh Penguins and lost because of speed and everything that the Penguins brought to the table. They've kind of loaded up in the off season, and based around their good goaltending, they've been scoring, rolling four lines deep, and they've been probably the biggest surprise. And then I think definitely the youth movement around the NHL, you look at the biggest surprises in the league right now outside of the Rangers. I mean, you maybe expected the Rangers to be a playoff team, but look at what Patrick Laine is doing in Winnipeg, leading the league in goals. And Winnipeg right now is second in the Central Division. That's the toughest division in the league.
Yeah.
And then the Edmonton Oilers, they've tapered off a little bit, but Connor McDavid and what he's brought to the table for them, they're second in the Pacific ahead of the LA Kings, ahead of the San Jose Sharks. So crazy stuff right now around the league. Boston Bruins have been very good. Tuukka Rask has been outstanding. There's just a lot of great storylines this season, but unfortunately the past day or so it's been mostly injuries to some big names around the league.
But the injuries are now and not later. I mean,
that's
the key. I mean, the injuries are now, not later. I mean, if we have this conversation in February, the league becomes concerned, right?
Yeah, I mean, Stamkos, we'll see how much time he misses. He has a lateral meniscus tear. It sounds like it's going to be months as opposed to weeks, which is bad news for the Lightning. But they dealt without him last season, and they fared well and went deep into the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think it just means if he's able to come back at any point this season, they'll be equipped without him, but hopefully they can get him back for another championship run. And then, of course, Taylor Hall for New Jersey. That seems like it'll be about a month less severe in the injury. And Johnny Gaudreau for the Flames. The Flames have been one of the most disappointing teams in the league, and they just lost their best player. He has a finger injury, so he's probably going to miss at least a couple of weeks. So, definitely for those teams, better sooner rather than later, especially for the Lightning. Hopefully they can get him back at some point.
Well, let me talk about the young players in the league. I mean, between the kid at Toronto, you talk about Winnipeg, Connor McDavid. How exciting and energized have they made the league overall? Because this is the future of the league skating before us right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's all young guys. I mean, it's crazy. It's all young guys. Even guys like Nikita Kucherov from the Lightning, who's one of the top scorers in the league. He's only 24 years old. It's all 25 and under. You mentioned Toronto. It's not just Matthews. They have Mitchell Marner. They have William Nylander. These are like three of the top six rookies in the league on one team. So it makes a team in one of the biggest markets in the league, hockey-wise, very exciting to watch on a game-to-game basis. Has been very unpredictable. And I think some teams who have been proven contenders in the past are finding it a little bit more difficult to keep up with some of these teams around the league, namely teams like Nashville, the LA Kings. You've seen them start slow. New York Islanders have been terrible this season. They have had trouble keeping up with a lot of these teams. And it's just great parity in the league. And I think when you can inject so much youth, it just makes the game, which is already the most fast-paced game in all of sports, arguably, even that much more exciting.
What are your thoughts on the early returns from the defending Stanley Cup champions?
I mean, I think all you need to know is that when Sidney Crosby came back from the concussion, he's been lights out, and that's a great sign for the Penguins.
Yeah.
Because you never want to see those old cobwebs resurface for him. He's dealt with that a number of times in his career. It seems like Matt Murray, I know the Penguins got lit up yesterday against the Capitals, but luckily his slight injury that made him leave the game, you know, doesn't seem to be that serious, so that's good news. I think whether it's been Murray or Fleury, if one of them's out, you have that type of depth, and I think over the course of the season they'll be just fine. I haven't really noticed any deep kind of a cup hangover at all from them. They're still among the top five teams points-wise in the league.
All right, when you look at the league to this point, into this season, the TV ratings have been really good. How have they felt about the Wednesday rivalry series on NBC Sportsnet?
Yeah, I think it's been solid. Last night was a great matchup. It wasn't score was not. Yeah, but it's still intriguing stuff. I mean, the Capitals have kind of started slow, but then they came to play in that game. I think you've seen that from a couple of the teams that went, that were the best teams in the league last year, with the Sharks and the Capitals. I think these teams they're not de-emphasizing the regular season, but they're saving some of their energy and some of their some of their fight for when it means most. And I think that's key for some of those teams that have continuously failed to get over the hump. But overall, it's been exciting. I think the first matchup between Matthews and McDavid is going to be on NBCSN coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So that's exciting. You've seen some of these Canadian teams that are normally not that interesting to the American fan, you see all these Toronto, people watching Toronto, people watching Gaudreau in Calgary, people watching Winnipeg, people watching Edmonton. I think that's great for the league. I think on top of the American bedrock franchises, the original six teams, to branch out into some of these lesser-known franchises, and then the average hockey fan gets more acclimated with some of these names around the league. I think the television audiences are key to that and exposing those type of players to the average fan.
What do you know about Las Vegas to this point? Where are they organizationally, if you know much about where they are? Because did they start next year?
Yeah, I think they're just they put most of their front office in place. They have George McPhee, the old Capitals GM, running the show. They have a lot of their analytics people hired. They're planning ahead for the potential drawings that they could get in the expansion draft next spring. They're going to announce the franchise's name and color scheme and things of that sort, and have merchandise available later this month. So that's exciting. And they're going to be in the Pacific Division, which is already a tough one, tough Western Conference. So they're going to need to be competitive from the get-go. And I think the way that the expansion draft is going to be structured this time around is going to make them competitive very quickly with some of the contracts that teams could shed in order to get them off their books, because the salary cap is such a big discussion year to year in the NHL, and letting guys walk and stuff, so it gives an opportunity for teams to shed talented players who may be a little overpaid, and then this Las Vegas team can take advantage of that. So I think that's a key thing for them. And they are, yeah, the wheels are in motion for Las Vegas. It's going to be fun to go. I know I'm looking forward to go to a game out there sometime. I've never been to Las Vegas before, but this gives me an extra reason to, you know, head out there.
Don't let it corrupt you, Pete. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, the arena is beautiful. And the location of it is perfect. So I think that's going to work out really well. What are your thoughts on the Flyers so far?
It's interesting. They've been terrible in terms of goals allowed and shots allowed. They're among the worst in the league. They've not gotten good goaltending, but their offense is really encouraging. I think if they can get this straightened out, I know it's kind of a shocking thing today. They're scratching Shane Goss to spare. He's been a little disappointing. I know they haven't been impressed with his play away from the puck. He's a good offensive defenseman, but he hasn't been putting up as good numbers this year compared to his rookie year. So they have some things to straighten out defensively and in net, but it's going to be interesting to see if their prospect, Anthony Stolarz, can get injected into this goalie mix, because Neuwirth is out. Steve Mason has not been very good. It's been a little better than Neuwirth, but if they can straighten out the goaltending, they're going to be right in that mix with Boston, New Jersey, Columbus for the wild card spots this season, and I think that's a year-to-year thing. The Flyers are a competitive team. Once you get into the playoffs, and especially in the regular season, more often than not. So it's good to see them playing well offensively, but they got to straighten out the back end. Otherwise, they won't be in the playoffs this year.
Pete, a personal question for you, because obviously you've been doing this for a while, and I started out by saying that you're getting more pub than ever, including some TV time. What has this been like for you? What is it about your job you enjoy so much?
It's just unpredictable. It's prediction based, and you're looking at statistics, and you can never you can never look at a day's work or any analysis in hockey because of the parity and the unpredictability. You have to always be on your toes. So it's something that's been very challenging and fun for me. And, getting in on the TV action, that's been fun as well. It's something that I know you know when you go into a broadcast. You never know what's going to happen. You have to be prepared for the twists and turns. You have to, you're never bigger than the scene that you're on. And you have to be ready and well prepared. And that's something that, you know, being in your class in the past, working so hard at Penn State, it's been able to translate well for me. And it's been a lot of fun.
You've earned it. You really have. It's great having you on as a guest. You're so well spoken about the league. We're proud of the work that you're doing. So really, best of luck. Look forward to talking to you soon, because you're doing terrific work.
Thanks so much, Steve. Appreciate it. And it's been fun watching Penn State too. I went to the Ohio State game a couple weeks ago, and everything changed since. Pretty cool.
It has been pretty cool. No doubt about that. Perfect way to put it. Pete, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Yes, he did take my class, and in spite of that, he's doing fine. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Take a moment to breathe deeply. Clear your mind and consider your surroundings. Notice the sights and sounds, the scents and textures, every sensation. Are you where you want to be? You can redirect your path at any time. After all, life isn't scripted. It's not about winning the race. It's a journey towards your personal best. And that is the ultimate destination. And the all-new 2017 Lincoln Continental is the vehicle to take you there. You deserve this. Nestle into the serene cabin and surround yourself with the reassuring strength of its forms. From its intuitive ease of the 30-way front seat controls to the exceptional collection of amenities, Continental invites everyone to experience the journey in an elegant new way. Sunbury Motors Lincoln will be there for you and your Lincoln whenever, wherever you need it. Stop in today and experience this impressive vehicle for yourself at Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Purchase any new Lincoln in the month of November and receive one complete detail each year for the next 4 years. Sunbury Motors Lincoln, making American luxury affordable. Check out our inventory at sunburylincoln.com.
Com. Great to have you with us. Well, quite a college football game tonight. This is one on a Thursday night that, to me, is absolutely worth watching. At least for me it will be. And that's Louisville and Houston. The game is at Houston tonight. Now, early in the season, before Houston hit a rough patch in the middle of the year, this was thought to be the game that would propel Houston into a New Year's Six game and potentially into the college football playoff Final Four. That was before they hit their rough patch in October, where they lost a couple of games. You know, they'd opened up by beating Oklahoma. They were pretty much on a roll, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the schedule, they hit some speed bumps. Well, Houston's playing a little bit better lately. Greg Ward, their quarterback, not completely healthy, but he will play, and he'll start tonight. And, of course, another chance to look at Lamar Jackson. Louisville is 5 right now, so they're at the edge. This would be a quality road win, should they get it. And for Houston, they can upset the apple cart even more because Louisville cannot afford to lose this game. They lose the game, they have no shot at the college football playoff. And if they lose the game, they might be out of the New Year's Six. We'll see. So that's, again, for Penn State fans, these are now all the games worth watching for you. Now, instead of playing out the string, Penn State at 8-2, eighth overall, now there are games that affect your team. This happens to be one of them tonight. Penn State's only 3 spots in back of Louisville in the poll. Now, Penn State has to take care of its own business. Penn State needs to control its own destiny by winning Saturday night to then set up next week. And that's the only destiny Penn State can control. They can control their own destiny of what they have in front of them and nothing else. Can't control how Louisville's going to play Houston. Can't control how Michigan's going to play Indiana. Can't control the Ohio State-Michigan State game. Can't control any of that. They can only control the game that they're playing in. But as a fan, you could take a long, hard look at tonight's game. That is a big test for one of the 7 teams in front of Penn State. That's a big test for one of the 4 teams in front of them for the last playoff spot. Think of it in that terms. Think of it in those terms right there. There are only 4 teams in front of Penn State for the last playoff spot. Clemson, Louisville, Washington, Wisconsin. That's it, 4. Now, how does it play out? How does it play out? Each team has tests. Penn State, of course, has Rutgers, Michigan State. Then if Penn State were to win and Ohio State were to win, then a Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin. At that point, you control that one. That's in your hands. So what about Louisville? They got Houston tonight on the road. Washington is still has to play Washington State in Pullman on the road. Clemson still has to play South Carolina in the ACC championship game. These are interesting times that you live in. And it's amazing to sit here on a November the 17th and discuss these kinds of scenarios. James Franklin tonight on the Penn State Coaches Show. Coquise Washington will lead things off to talk about Lady Lion basketball and their matchup coming up against Tennessee this weekend. Then it'll be James Franklin.